something of love of God. But he became attached to a deer. He went to the forest alone to perform meditation and worship. And in that vulnerable situation, and I say vulnerable particularly because it applies to us in this age of color, this is Sankirtan movement. It's been said by some devotees that the Sankirtan movement so much depends on the togetherness, association of devotees performing devotional service together, that it's almost as if either we all go back to Godhead together or none of us go. So, together. But Maharaj Bharat, he went alone. And in that state, he became vulnerable. He became attached to a deer. Easy enough to say the deer is a relatively friendly, cute animal. Not hard to imagine. But he became absorbed in that deer, even while he was doing his meditation. What is our consciousness at that point in time? As I said, Srimad Bhagavatam gives me examples of devotees apparently dying, but going to different destinations. Death is a very confusing subject matter. And the example is I just given you. We're talking about Maharaj Bharat, who was a great devotee of the Lord. And somehow or another, at the point of death, he went to a deer's body rather than go back home, back to Godhead. So death can be a very complex, complicated point in our sojourn in this material world. So we have to be prepared. That's the point. We have to be prepared. Many people, actually I did a little research, and I found that up to 20% of the American public is very afraid of death. Very afraid of death. There's a lot of different types of fears of death, and we're going to go over them here. But being very afraid of death, up to 20% of the American population is there. Why do you think that is? Why do you think people fear death so much? Can anybody say? Anybody have any ideas? They have their own fears they want to let us know? Fear of the unknown. Yes, fear of the unknown. That's certainly a factor in death. It's a fear of going downtown. Fear of the unknown. So yes. Any others? Yes. Sinful. Yes, we have a category for that. It's called fear of eternal damnation. Yes. Okay. Fear of eternal punishment is another one. Yes, and any more? Yes. Death takes away everything. I saw a cartoon actually this morning. It was a grim reaper standing over the grave, and the candidate was standing before him with his bags packed full of money. And the grim reaper was saying, "Put it in a pile with the rest of the trash. No baggage." So yeah, fear is everything's going to be taken away. That's the thing. Any more? Anybody have any? One or two more? Yes. Yes, fear of leaving your loved ones. Who will take care? Very good. Maybe one more. Yes. Yes, definitely. Personal annihilation. The end of one's existence is a factor. Actually, you did real good. I have a list here of, let's see, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. And I think we got them all. So let me just repeat them, and then we can try to see how Krishna consciousness makes us the kitten instead of makes us the rat. That we feel, when death happens to us, we don't feel defeated, but we feel liberated. And so to do that, there are these fears that we have to deal with, because they surround all conceptions of death. And I might just say as a side here today, the reason why I decided to talk about death today is because today in the Christian world, they're celebrating Easter. And they also have, that's also about a mystery of death. Apparently Christ was slain on the cross, but he rose 3 days later on Easter. So how is his death, so-called death, how does it fit into the scale of things? I'm not going to speak about that, but I'll let you ponder it. It's part of the reasons why I chose the subject matter. But let's go back to the fears. There's different types of fears of death, and you've named them. Maybe you didn't get this one, fear of pain and suffering. Somebody say that? That's a big one. The fear of pain and suffering. Okay. Yeah, well, I have down here fear of the unknown was the next one, which Pan Govindas gave. Fear of non-existence. I think that we got that one. Fear of eternal punishment. I think that's the one Ambarish mentioned. Fear of loss of control, and fear of what will become of one's loved ones, of our loved ones. So these are six elements of the fear of death. And how does Krishna consciousness deal with them? If we're saying we're the kitten and not the rat, then we have to, what's the proof? How do you deal with these types of fears? How can you say you're different? Well, let's take a look at that. Fear of pain and suffering. My godbrother, Bhakti Tirtha Swami Maharaj, was preparing for his death and departure from this world. I heard him give a class, and he was saying in that class, he was making a point, is how you live is how you die. How you live is how you die. So if you live a life very sinful, always associating with the lower modes of nature, putting yourself in very difficult and dangerous situations, if that's how you live, then it's probably pretty much how you're going to die. So if you don't want pain and suffering, why put yourself and others through pain and suffering in the course of your life? Prabhupada says in the purport here that if one is transcendentally absorbed in Krishna's service, then his next body will be transcendental spiritual. not material. He makes the point that how you live your life not only affects what your next life will be, but how you die. And it's also symptomatic. Pain and suffering is symptomatic of one's consciousness. The more one is Krishna conscious, the less the pain and suffering has a grip on him. We've seen that actually in our community here. We've lost several devotees in the last year. And we can see amongst them, particularly Shamini, how she was of elevated consciousness and therefore wasn't as disturbed or distracted or fearful of the pain and suffering that's involved in the process. There is going to be some pain and suffering. But how we deal with it, how our consciousness is fixed, makes all the difference. From the very beginning of our practice of Krishna consciousness about the spiritual world. Therefore, it becomes known to us. It's no longer an unknown. We know about the spiritual world, we know about the material world, and we know we have a choice to make. Getting back to that conversation that you got to have. We have to make a choice. Do we want to stay in this material world, which we know what it's like? Or do we want to situate ourselves in the spiritual world? And we have knowledge of that too, not only Vaikuntha Loka, but Krishna Loka. Krishna's most intimate, the place where he has his most intimate dealings with others. We know from Brahma Samhita that in the spiritual world, everything's made of touchstone. There's description in the Brahma Samhita that we sing every day about what life is like there. It need not remain unknown to us. It can be known. It should be known, because if we know, then we won't fear. We'll know where we're going, and we'll know how to get there. That's the whole process of Krishna consciousness. So in one sense, you could say the whole process of Krishna consciousness is there to defeat this fear of the unknown. And the next, fear of non-existence, nirvishesha shunyavadi, paschachidesitarami. Prabhupada came specifically, his pranam mantra says specifically, you don't have to be afraid of your existence being annihilated, of nothingness, of voidness. You don't have to be afraid of that when you practice Krishna consciousness. And therefore you defeat this cause of fear that we're becoming non-existence, that it'll be over. What a frightening thought, and what shelter Srila Prabhupada has given us. Fear of non-existence. Fear of eternal punishment. fear of eternal punishment. This is a fear that has been described not just as being held by religious people, but it sort of spills over into even secular-minded persons, that if there's something I did or I didn't do, or I should have done or I shouldn't have done in this life, I'm going to have to suffer for it. We have that experience in this world. If we do something, there's some reaction that comes. Whether we know the law of karma or not, we experience it. And so when you act bad, you get bad. When you act good, you get good. But the problem is, we know from studying Bhagavad Gita that the good and the bad are competing with each other. So you can't just say, I'm going to be good if you remain in this world. It doesn't work like that. If you're going to be good now, you're going to be influenced by bad later, and you're going to get a mixed bag result. What to speak of understanding that even this material world has its eternal nature. Eternally, we're in this cycle of birth and death, and good and bad. We need to get out of that. That's eternal punishment. The spiritual world is not eternal punishment. What's the nature of the spiritual world? Three things. Sat, Chit, Ananda. Bliss, knowledge, and eternity. That's what the spiritual world is going to be like. You're not going to find that eternal punishment there. But you'll find it here. You'll find it here. And we've all been experiencing that for millions of births. So that fear, even if we're used to it, we're used to it, so therefore it doesn't bother us so much. We kind of like can live with that knife sticking in our gut and think everything's all right. Even if we're thinking unconsciously about how we're suffering and not doing anything about it, we should know that that can be an eternal condition. Life after life, creation after creation in this material world. We can get free from that. We can be free. That's the hope of Krishna consciousness. So loss of control. Prabhupada tells a story about a businessman that he met in Allahabad when he was doing business there. That businessman was dying. He was dying, and he didn't know what to do. He thought, how will my business go on? I have this plan. And he begged the doctor, please just give me 5 more years so I can complete my plans. How many of us think like that? Well, I have so many plans. I just need some more time. I deserve that time. No, sir, Prabhupada says, get out. So we will lose control. So the lesson is, we should practice detachment. We should practice detachment. That will help us in terms of this fear of losing control. And then finally on my list here is what will become of our loved ones. Believe it or not, we're not the maintainer. The maintainer is Krishna. And we need to cultivate knowledge found in Bhagavad Gita, so that we can understand who's the real maintainer. When we understand that Krishna is maintaining everyone, that's his job, not our job. That's his mercy. He's not forced to do it. He does it out of love for us, just like we do it out of love for our families. But the sooner we understand that Krishna is the supreme maintainer of everything and everyone, and apply it to a situation where we're fearful of death, how it's satisfies or cures this problem. Peaceful by ridding ourselves of these fears, which can be handled, which can be defeated by the practice of Krishna consciousness, then we're peaceful, and we can do what with that peace? We can think of Krishna. We can concentrate our mind on Krishna. We can chant the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, as Prabhupada recommends here. And we can actually defeat death. Death can be defeated. There's an example given in Srimad Bhagavatam. We all know the story of Dhruva Maharaj. Dhruva Maharaj was a 5-year-old boy. He was insulted by his stepmother, and he was advised by his own mother to go to the forest to seek the help of Narayan, to let him pacify you. So that was his boyhood life. We know how he went through very austere practices for 6 months, was able to see the personality of Godhead, was benedicted by him, and he returned to his home and became a great king. And he ruled for many thousands of years. But how he ruled, how he led his life, stemmed from when he was a boy in the forest alone meditating. He was fearless, in a sense, to do that. And therefore, he was fearless as a warrior. And at the time when death came to him, he defeated death. It's described in Srimad Bhagavatam that an airplane from the spiritual world came to take him back to Godhead. And as he was approaching that plane to get on the plane to go, death personified appeared before him. And what happened? He had defeated death, and that was shown by death personified bowing before him, and Dhruva Maharaj stepping on the head of death as it stepped aboard that airplane back to the spiritual world. He had defeated death. There was no fear for him. There was no impediment for him. There was no rebirth for him. He exited this material world by stepping on the head of death. Now, there are other examples in Srimad Bhagavatam, which were ultimately successful, but entailed a bit of a roundabout path. And for that, we look at the life of Ajamil. Ajamil began his life as a saintly young brahmachari, and I think he was actually grihastha still. He was a married man. But he became absorbed and distracted by a prostitute, and he lost, through that association, he lost all good qualities. He became a thief, a cheater, a gambler, and he was very cruel to others. So as you live your life, you'll die like that. So when death personified approached Jamil, he saw four very fearsome individuals. And I want to read a description of what they looked like so that we would never have to see them in our lives. They had twisted faces, long, unruly hair on their heads, and their bodily hair was like bristles. And Jamil recognized them as the legendary Yamadutas, the servants of Lord Yama, the Lord of Death. He was overwhelmed by terror. So death, if not prepared for properly, is a terrifying experience. Ajamil had to go through such an experience. Only after becoming, of course, as I said, Ajamil is complicated. You saw the Yamadutas, they tried to take him away, but because he had cried out the name in terror, cried out the name of his son, Narayan, the name of the Lord, Narayan, the Vishnu Dutas, four Vishnu Dutas, very beautiful persons, appearing to be like Lord Narayan himself. They challenged the Yamadutas. There was some discussion, and Ajamil got a chance to go prepare again. This is the mercy of the Lord, that even if we're not qualified, if we still are fearful in different ways, the Lord will arrange for us to be, get the proper training and get the second chance we need to defeat death. So this story is also given in Srimad Bhagavatam. It has a happy ending. Ajamil does go back home, back to Godhead. But it took some time, just like Maharaj Bharat took some time after his birth as a deer. So we should give serious thought and consideration to these subject matters of death. Don't avoid it because it's an unpopular or unpleasant conversation to have. But we need to have this conversation in our life. We have the opportunity of the knowledge given in Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam. Knowledge specifically can be applied to free us from fear, to clear our consciousness, to make a peaceful situation in our heart, so we can, at the time of death, chant the holy name of the Lord and achieve the supreme destination. So these are some thoughts about death. Does anyone have any additions, questions? Yes.
My name is Javarjit Das. And I recently had my astrology chart done by a good Vedic astrologer. And according to the chart, I will probably leave the body, leave this body at about 80. I have a little over 77 at this point. And I'm not too fearful of death, but I am fearful of my offenses to the Vaishnavas that I have committed this lifetime. I was studying for over 12 years as a brahmachari book distributor, and somehow or other Maya hit me and I left looking for something else. And during that time, very likely, I made some offenses. And even after I come back, I still contaminated from that time away. But I'm back on track. I'm standing my rounds 16 a day, and I'm offering my food, and I'm living in my little cottage, preparing myself to leave. And I would just ask the assembled vice bobs if they could find it in their heart to forgive me for any offenses that I committed, thought, word, or deed, so that I could make a nice exit and go home.
Thank you. Anything else? Thank you.
The importance of preparing.
Thank you, Seisha. I was wondering, you know, I had a friend, a devotee friend many years ago, said to me, let me conscious before you push me conscious. Mm-hmm. You know, it's a simple statement, but there's a lot of truth in it. And I've noticed the depth that I've experienced in my life, you know, over the years, other than devotee friends, they pump you so full of painkillers, morphine, and, you know, you're like in a comatose state. You know, my parents were like that, but my father was in a lot of pain, so he put him in a lot of painkillers. So, you know, their consciousness is so fogged up by all these drugs that they give people in hospice, et cetera, like that. What happens to people like that? Now, on the other hand, my friend Sridhar Maharaj, who's a dear friend of mine, he passed away in my care several years ago. And he was conscious, he was in pain, but still, you know, from what I hear, devotees who go through that, go through the pain, before it becomes time for them to leave, they worked as a nurse for like almost 40 years. Like this?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. I worked as a nurse for about 40 years, and I have seen people that were on drugs and very spiritually conscious. And the thing is that Krishna is stronger than the drugs.
Mm.
Prabhupada is stronger than the drugs. So it's not that the drugs will stop you from being conscious of the Lord. The Lord's going to come through no matter what, you know. So you don't have fear of taking the drugs because you're in pain. I've seen it with devotees, and I've seen it with non-devotees. And I've had so many people that were not devotees that they were conscious enough to chant at the end of their life, even though the drugs were there. So it's not like the drugs will stop you from being aware of God, or he will come to you any way he wants to. You know, he's not restrained by the drugs.
Mm.
Thank you.
Nice statements of faith by the devotees here this evening. I think it's one.
Thank you for the nice class. I just wanted to, end this, on a very positive note, because just yesterday I was listening to Giriraj Swami give class to some devotees in South Africa, and it was a really amazing class I sent to some people about this building of the Juhu Temple. It was just, it was like an ad for that book. I mean, we are all going to want to get it. It's so amazing. This courage of the people who helped build it. But at the end, when he asked for questions, one of the devotees asked, what happens if we are not able to remember Krishna because of some physical impediment or for whatever reason? So he then said that somebody had asked that to Srila Prabhupada, and he said, Lord Chaitanya will force himself in your consciousness. So there is so much hope for practicing Krishna consciousness by the mercy of Srila Prabhupada, that he will come, Lord Chaitanya will help us, the whole parampara, Lord Nityananda. So we have really nothing to worry about except serve with all intensity and purity.
Yes. Thank you for that encouraging statement. We can end with that. Bhagavad Gita ki jai.